it, the 2025 fall season is here. Coming up on episode 115 of TritonCast, we're previewing the women's soccer season with head coach Kristen Jones. With the season set to kick off tomorrow under the lights, Jonesy talks about what to expect from this year's squad, and the excitement is high within the program. Our women's soccer season preview is in the Triton Spotlight this week on TritonCast. Welcome to episode 115 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. Whether you found us on your favorite podcast platform or ucsdtritons.com, thank you for joining us this week. And before we get to this week's Triton Spotlight, let's go around campus. Former TritonCast guest Annika Ford from women's rowing was part of a silver medal winning team at the World Rowing Championships in Poland. Congrats to baseball pitcher Matthew Dahlquist, who was selected by the Minnesota Twins in the 18th round of the MLB draft. And while we're on Tritons in the Pros, both Hayden Gray and Aniwaniwa Tate Jones from men's basketball participated in the NBA Summer League last month in Las Vegas. And a new season means it's time to lock in your seats. Women's volleyball, men's water polo, and men's and women's basketball season tickets are now on sale. Speaking of hoops, the Big West schedules are out. The Tritons will both begin defense of their conference titles on December 6th against Long Beach State, with the women playing at home and the men on the road. Well, now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Our conversation is with women's soccer head coach Kristen Jones. The 2004 UCSD grad joins us to look ahead to the 2025 season, which begins tomorrow night. Coach, let's go back to last year for a second. I'm sure you've done a lot of reflecting on that season, but how strange was that for your team to be in every game? You get a great win at San Diego State, you get results in three of the last four, but big picture wasn't what you wanted.
Yeah, it's funny. I reflected a lot, but also sat on a lot of sidelines recruiting this year, and was tired of hearing how good we were. It got old. I think what last year did is it allowed, our name to be in people's mouth, and people thought we were good and they loved our style of play. And, I'd say a majority of Big West coaches referenced us as the best team they played against, which sounds strange for a team that finished as low as we did. So there was a lot to take from it. But I think as a staff, we're really reflecting on, why those performances weren't turning into results, and trying to fix that a bit. There was some small fixes, some low hanging fruit in terms of, stylistically be a little bit more dynamic offensively, some structure things defensively that we felt we could maybe not give up some of the soft goals we gave up last year, and knew some positions that we needed to fill a little bit. But yeah, I think that, it was a positive. And I think just continuing, for the players to buy into what we're doing and still believe in it, maybe even though the results didn't go our way, has been, I've been really, really pleased with how they've handled themselves in the off season as well. We just kept moving forward. It wasn't like we weren't sitting and sulking on anything. We just kept moving forward and developing. And I think we got a lot better from last season to this season.
Yeah. So in the spring, in terms of training, were you referencing the season that just ended, or had you all turned the page, or is there a balance?
Yeah. I think it is a balance. I think, like I said, some of these glaring issues, it was easy to talk back, as some things that happen in season and reference those and you just remind them of little things matter. Attention to detail and bringing up some of the examples of that from the fall. But I think it was also really important for us to move forward as a group and understanding we were going to look a little bit different this year. And our program really relies heavily on those winter and spring quarters and the development aspect for each individual. We as a staff, collaborate with the athlete and figure out, what are some areas of focus for them, and we help them close the gap in that. So I think a lot of it was forward thinking, but I think, training standards or, like I said, the attention to detail and big moments in games and practices, it was pretty easy to point back to the season as just a reminder, because nobody wants a repeat of that. So I think it was a pretty good balance between the two.
You mentioned staff. One of your former defensive stalwarts, Cameron Borg, is now a member of your staff. What does Cam bring to the coaching side?
It's crazy because, it took a little convincing for her, for me to have her stay on staff. She did a great job in winter and spring. And then as we figured out what it looks like coming into the fall, we had to sit and talk, but I genuinely feel as Cameron as a 22-year-old coach compared to what I was as a 22-year-old coach, you can't even compare the two. Her starting place in terms of just the knowledge of the sport, her effective communication with the athletes, she's done a really good job of still being a positive influence for them, still being that bridge, let's say, between the team and the staff, but being very aligned with Trent and I at the same time, and having good, solid boundaries with the athletes. But she, she's just an all-around coach already without a ton of experience. And to me, one of the best pieces is just how she's blended with Trent and I. She sits in staff meetings and has a big voice and can challenge us on things and give us different perspectives. So yeah, it's just been great. It's been great to have her on staff. She's a fabulous recruiter too, which I don't know if I still even am a fabulous recruiter. She's just head and shoulders above where I thought she'd be. So it's been great to have her on staff. And I'm pretty sure the team would say the same thing, especially the defenders who have relied on her so heavily for the past 3 years, and they get to continue to do that. So it's been great to have her.
A lot of new faces on the team. I feel like this is pretty standard now in college sports, but you got 10 new scholar athletes on the roster. How has the process been integrating them into what you're trying to do?
Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised with them so far, and their eagerness to learn and their ability to apply some coaching points. Their buy-in to what we want to do as a program has been tremendous. This has been a class, speaking on the freshmen, this has been a class we've really looked forward to for a few years now. Most of them were very early commits. So we knew kind of the level that was going to be coming in, and we've been kind of waiting for the day that they'd be able to join us. And they're almost overperforming, to be honest, of where we thought they'd be at this point. Every single one of them could play, will play, and contribute. So that's just been great to kind of have that. And then for the transfers coming in, they all bring a different perspective. They have different experiences, where they're at their previous institutions. Everybody's story looks a little bit different. So that's been really neat too, is for them to come in and challenge the group in different ways. But their level's very good. They know what it's like to be collegiate athletes. They know how to balance themselves in terms of recovery and what it takes to fuel properly and do all that to be prepared for practices and games. But they also bring in, a little bit of grit, a little bit of, desire that I think was a little bit of a void for us last year. So it's been great. It's been great. And the team, everybody's blended together very nicely. I think that, everyone wants the team to succeed, and whatever 11's on the field, I think the whole team will be backing them. So it's been just kind of a great thing how quickly the whole team's come together chemistry wise as well.
I mean, you can't force that chemistry, but how do you kind of help coax it along? Or it sounds like maybe you didn't have to do a lot and it just naturally happened.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's, a little bit of personality, right? I think that, there's not a ton of new players who are reserved or quiet or want to be seen and not heard. I think that that's a testament to them and their own individual personalities, but also a testament to the group and how welcoming and inclusive kind of our team is. I think that I've met a lot with our captains, in the off season and in this preseason so far, and they all really value, the cultural aspects of our program, and have been very intentional with the amount of time they're spending together, off the field, team dinners, things like that, and all that matters. All of that really matters, and it makes people feel welcome, and then they get to be their authentic selves. So it's just, I think it's all just been been, it's come together really nicely. And like I said, I think that everybody is on the same page in terms of, you know, common goals and how we're going to get there. And yeah, so I think the leadership's done great. The upperclassmen's done great. And I think the incoming group has done a really good job of, you know, meshing with the team as well.
Just the way the calendar falls, you have about 2.5 weeks from when they get to campus until the opener Thursday against Cal. How important is their level of fitness coming in and being kind of ready to go right off the bat?
Yeah, it's it really changes the trajectory of your preseason. So for us, you know, I think most college soccer coaches, I won't say every sport, but most will think their team's never fit enough when they get here. And you know that they put in a ton of work over the summer. You know, some people need a little bit of break too after the last year finishes, and then just kind of understanding what their body needs to get to the level physically that they'll need to be at when they report. But you know, for us, I think you want them to be fit enough to be able to stick to your training plan and expose them to the things you need to expose them to. But ultimately, you want bodies to stay healthy. You want just, you know, for the availability to be as close to perfect as it can be so that you can continue to learn as a team and as a unit. You know, and so, yeah, I mean, I think it was like any other program in the country, probably for us. We had just a couple, you know, little injuries at the beginning of preseason, but getting everybody healthy has been a priority for our staff, for the athlete themselves too. They're going above and beyond to get themselves back healthy. And then, you know, our performance coach and athletic trainer have done a great job just kind of finding that balance of still, you know, having some of these athletes able to train, but also being smart about it, understanding it's going to be a long season for everybody. So, yeah, I think we're probably just where we thought we'd be. And next year they'll be fitter, I'm sure.
Absolutely. We'll mark it down. So your team will open up with 3 straight at home starting Thursday night against Cal. How nice is it to be on your home pitch to get things going?
Yeah. And I think that's something that, you know, our program's moved away from a little bit, you know, back in the Division II era. I think this Triton Soccer Stadium had this aura about it, and teams came here and they were already at a little bit of a disadvantage. And I think we've lost that a little bit. And I think for us, you know, we want to show up for these home games, put on a great brand of soccer for the fans, and just compete against some of the best teams in the country. I mean, for Cal, you know, the season that they had last year, and doing as well as they did in the ACC, you know, we're looking to hopefully get our first win against the ACC opponent. And that's our goal. But I just think for us, you know, preparing for the Big West, I think challenging ourselves in these early games is so important. So to be able to have some at home, if we can come in with the right mentality, it gives us a great shot at winning these games. So yeah, looking forward to being a little bit more home heavy this year than we've been the past couple of years. And yeah, hoping the results are on our side.
After Cal, it's Northern Arizona and then UNLV. And then you'll head to Snapdragon Stadium to take on San Diego State, a team you beat at SDSU last year. What are you expecting from that experience of playing in a professional venue?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, for the girls, it's probably once in a lifetime for most of them to be able to do that. And I just, you know, I'm so grateful that the schedule aligned with what San Diego State's availability was and their agreement with Snapdragon. I think it's wonderful for our athletes. I think it's wonderful for our department and ultimately the San Diego community. I mean, it's 2 good soccer teams that'll go out there and play. And just hoping, you know, being at that venue, controlling emotions a little bit, right? Because it's going to be an exciting event for our team. But, you know, I think that we always look forward to our games against San Diego State. And then you combine it with being at Snapdragon. I don't think you can beat that.
The growth of the sport nationally and certainly here in this market in San Diego, what will it be like for you on the sidelines that night?
It'll be cool. I love a Wave game. I'm a huge Wave fan. You know, I think I'm a little older than the generation now. So like not saying these are my idols out there by any way, you know, that's my 99ers back in the day. But, you know, I just have seen just coaches there, national teams play there, just everything. And I think it's just going to be kind of an incredible moment that I want to make sure I'm present in and really appreciate the opportunity. I just think, you know, our team sat in the stands in the spring to watch the Wave play. And then for us to be on the field, I think it's going to be incredible.
You've got some key returning players. We talked about the 10 newcomers, but so who are some faces? Who are some people who might have breakout seasons, or maybe we're going to see play a little more than we have in prior years?
Yeah, I think, for us, we've got a really good core group coming back. I think that, especially defensively, I feel really solid. You know, we lost Captain Layla Rad in the spring, but our defensive group is pretty solid, especially experience-wise from last season, just losing Layla. So she's going to be a huge, huge loss, but her impact she's already had on the players that are potentially playing in that position has been incredible. So we have a freshman, Anya Lin, who has stepped into that role, did great in our exhibition, shows up every training session, does really well. So hoping that that's kind of a seamless transition for our group. But, you know, Alexis Nguyen is looking like she's going to have a real good season for us.
She is so fast.
She is so fast and sometimes too fast. I want her to slow down every now and then. But we moved her kind of into a little bit more of a natural role for her. And I think the combination of Lex's maturity and buy-in and discipline, but then also being in that new position for her, I think she's going to have a good season. And then I would say also Ava Tybor, getting her to come back from her ACL that had her miss her freshman season. The timing of that, and she was able to play in a lot of our winter training sessions and then play in a few of the spring games. I think that gave her a real good opportunity to hit close to her full potential for the fall. And yeah, physically her body's hanging in there and she's just getting more and more sharp each day. So, looking forward to that, to her return. But I really think across the board, I think everybody came back with a great mentality and a level of readiness that I really haven't seen in the past couple seasons. I think Lindsay Park is going to have another good year. I think that, we have Natalie Abel, who's back to being almost fully healthy, and she was kind of a little bit coming back from an injury last year. So, yeah, I just think the group altogether is ready to go.
Lastly, on the Big West, the preseason poll comes out. Your team is picked 7th. Take it or leave it, I guess. But how do you see the conference stacking up?
Yeah, 7th is better than 11th. So I'll take 7th. But I swear every year, just the Big West just gets more and more solid. And it's the from top to bottom, there's a lot of new coaches too, or top level coaches taking over programs that we're kind of just waiting to be good. And I think it can be, and it's so cliche, but like, we got to show up every single game to compete. But the flip of that is I think we can compete with the top as well. I think that just across the board, we just have to have a consistent season. We need to have a consistent level of play. Big moments, when the big moments are there, we need to answer when we're called upon. And yeah, I think Big West is always exciting. I think that, this year is not going to be any different. And yeah, our expectation is to be as close to the top as possible in that. So
let's go. Coach, thanks so much. We'll see you Thursday night.
Thanks, Jeff.
Well, thank you, Jonesy. We're definitely excited to get going this week. Can't believe it's tomorrow night. The Tritons will start their season with 3 straight at home. August 14th against Cal, the 21st against Northern Arizona, and then on the 24th against UNLV. Admission to all home matches at Triton Soccer Stadium is free, and if you can't make it out, you can follow along all season on ESPN+. Well, next week on TritonCast, we're previewing the men's soccer season with head coach John Pascal. Tune in on the 20th. You won't want to miss it. Be sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of TritonCast premiere on Wednesdays. Well, thanks for listening this week, and don't forget, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you get your pods. And a reminder, You can listen to any of our 115 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, you can send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.